Okay, Shalom Aleichem, Rabbeisai. We are in Shara Klevis Halvavis Shara Kniya Perek Vav. At the end of Perek Vav. The last, the Perek Vav was again discussing, I said last time, actually remember, I said last time that we would continue on a question that was asked at the end of last year. So let's just bring ourselves back into the subject. Perek Vav was discussing the conducts, the practical forms of conduct of a person with the mid of Kniya. What it looks like halacha lemaisa, mid of Kniya, what we might call anava. Being humbled in the presence of Hashem. So the last one on this list, we're all the way at the end of the perek, was Shiyevim Ma'at Dvarim, that in general he acts in a very low tone kind of way. Doesn't speak much. He speaks softly, maintains a certain serious, reserved, even perhaps inhibited demeanor. You won't see him boisterously laughing, etc. And we discussed last time how when you really sense that you're in that great and awesome presence, the more you can sense that this is something that will be difficult to maintain all the time. But you know what? Part of what we're trying to do is work toward that level of feeling it as much as we can. This is really the concept of Shivisi Hashem Negdi Tamid. It's mamish, that's the Ramah in the first Sif in Shulchan Aruch. Shivisi Hashem Negdi Tamid. A person tries to live in that great presence at all times. Mameli feels humble. And like the Ramah says, Kien Shivtoi Shel Adam, a person's manner of sitting and speaking and standing and walking is not going to be the same when he's just on his own and when he's in the presence of a great king. So Rav Moshe asked at the end of the last cheer, meaning the point being that yes, you're always acting with a certain bashfulness, with a certain inhibition, even in the way you talk to others. It's not just the way you're in the presence of the king, you won't talk loudly and disrespectfully to the king. Also next to the person next to you, you will be careful about the way you express yourself. You won't be too boisterous because of the great presence. And uncle of mine, an uncle who went to see the King of Jordan once, he was part of a delegation that went to see the King of Jordan, the previous one, the father, what was his name again, Hussein. So they went to see him. He said that he had never actually had that kind of experience of, you really felt like you couldn't say a word. Now, he wasn't going to kill them. They were foreign dignitaries, right? He wasn't going to kill. It wasn't like you were worried about getting your head cut off. But they had a real atmosphere of monarchy there. And this uncle of mine is actually quite an outgoing, jokey kind of person. But he described how there you just felt like you wanted to stand still, keep quiet, and you only spoke if you were spoken to, if you were asked the question. This is part of the value, actually, of going to see even non-Jewish monarchs to get a sense of what it really means. Now, Rav Moshe asked, does this put the person into a state of anxiety? So we have to understand something. It could, and that's certainly not the goal. But we want to approach this right. I'll give a mashal amad of a doing that. This doesn't have to be like a stress. It's not a scared sort of. We're calling this awe rather than fear. I'll give a mashal amad of a doing that. This is perhaps how we differentiate, how we define the difference between Yiras HaRoimimus and Yiras Chet. This is how I think of it. You have a person who is, he's training as some kind of a singer or an actor or something. He's training, does some minor performances, then he does some performances as part of the choir, right? But finally, it's reaching a point where he's becoming really good and he's going to debut as a star. He's going to debut in his own right. There's going to be a special big concert in a very, very great hall starring him for the first time. He's going to be making his debut. And he's practicing with his trainers. He's practicing. And they're really trying to polish him in every possible way. And they're selling tickets for the big day. And they're doing a lot of promotion, a lot of advertising. It's a big deal. It's a sensation. This great performance by this new up-and-coming star on the horizon. And finally, the great day comes and he's wearing his tuxedo and he's standing backstage with his couple of friends and his trainers and whoever, Chvesvos, producers. And it's a few minutes before the curtains are going to open and the crowd is already taking their place. And it's a few minutes before the curtain is going to open. And his friend looks at him and sees that he's slightly shaking, right? And there are beads of sweat on his forehead. His hands are sweaty. His friend looks at him and he says, "Oh yeah, I see this is making you very nervous. Maybe this wasn't a good idea after all. Maybe we could still cancel it. Should I see if we can cancel it? It's making you very nervous." And obviously the response is going to be, "Of course it's making me nervous. My heart is pounding. But this nervousness is the thrill of my life. This is the greatest moment of my life. I wouldn't give up on this moment for anything. Sure, it's nervous. You're about to do something huge, right? But that nervous is actually a thrilling kind of nervous, not a frightening kind of nervous. It's the most momentous point of my life is coming up right now. This is what we're talking about. This is the concept of Yiras HaRoimimos versus say Yiras Chet. That a person has an appreciation of the immensity that he's dealing with, the greatness that he's dealing with, of what the significance is of the fact that I am at the center of Hashem's attention. Hashem wants to see what I'm doing. Hashem is focused on me intensely. But approaching it in a privileged kind of way rather than in a scared kind of way. Sure, you have to behave. Sure, you have to act right. But when a person is trying to get an audience with the king because he has something to request, definitely has to be on guard, but he's been waiting for that moment. And here we're given that privilege of actually, kiviyachol, so to speak, performing for Hashem, giving Hashem nachas. This is where Hashem's attention is primarily focused, on those of us who are operating now in Olam Hazeh. More so, the tzaddikim who are with him in Olam Haba, people much greater than us. But they're not the ones who are bringing Hashem nachas now. That's not where his kviyachol, his focus is. And he wants to see, what are they going to do now? It's here. It's on this little tiny pocket of existence called Olam Hazeh with those of us who are alive and here now. Perhaps this is the pshat in what it says in the Gemara, the Mishnah of us. Right? First you have the statement that says, right? One moment of pleasure in Olam Haba is greater than all the pleasure of this world. But then it goes on to say, one moment of tshuva masim tovim in this world is greater than all of chayei Olam Haba. What's that supposed to mean? It's quite possible that that this Tana and his elevated Madrega lived with that sense of awe at the privilege of being in position to be the one giving Hashem Nachas. Go to Olam Haba, you'll be basking in the ecstasy and the bliss forever and ever. But he so appreciated the immensity of I'm in position to be giving Hashem Nachas. It's something I'm not going to have in Olam Haba. The thrill of that was what he was describing in that Mishnah. And this is the awe that we're talking about. So yes, when a person really lives this way, it's thrilling to be in that presence the whole time. You're living a life, an elevated life, a fulfilled life, a life where every moment has so much meaning. And yes, you're always going to be on guard. But when a person really reaches this madrega, it's not coming from a place of anxiety. It's not going to be a function of anxiety. It's not going to have symptoms of anxiety, but rather it's going to be a life, a full, rich life where every moment is very, very profound. So this is the significance of, yes, this idea of living in that great presence. And living in that great presence and always acting with that certain reserve, as you would act if you really tangibly felt that you were in such an awesome presence. Okay. Now we move on. We move on to the next parak, the seventh parak. אבל הסימונים שבהם תספר הקניע מן הנחמה כשיראו בי הם חמישה. What are the symptoms of a nichna? What will you see on a nichna, a person who has this need of kniya? What will you see on him? So, echad mehem. One is beischoizek kasoi. When you see that he is very greatly provoked, very greatly angered. When somebody really disgraces him, whether somebody says something humiliating to him, whether one does something disgraceful to him, how does he respond? If he's in position to give the guy back, but he stays calm, controlled, and just lets it go by. Man of a shiflus, because of his sense of humility, that is a great sign of his kniya. How does it have to do with kniya toward Hashem? But the answer is that, as we've seen, many times the kniya toward Hashem will manifest in kniya toward other people also. Why? Because when I'm in the presence of Hashem, I feel like I don't want to be putting myself out there, right? I don't want to be asserting my own godless, my own greatness, my own ego, right? And therefore, someone did something to me. I don't have the mindset of how could he do this to me. I keep myself in perspective. I keep myself in a low place. I feel funny to assert myself in the presence of Hashem as doing that to me. And my chest inflates right away. What greater crime could there be than insulting my ego? No, since my ego is always in check. So Hashem, you and I know that I'm not that great. I'm Tzeda. So he did something to me. Hashemi. Number two is, Kishivgaehu pega b'mamayinu. Ayikrehu mikre b'kroivov. If he undergoes some sort of financial ordeal, misfortune, or something chas v'shalom happens in his family, misfortune. Im ovar hasevel al hachavodah, if his sense of acceptance overcomes his panic, v'yitzav gzeah sabayir, and he accepts, this is something that Hashem brought on me, I'm accepting it, V'yatzdik esdinai, and he is matzdik esadin. I said, Hashem does this. This must be correct. Because again, he lives with that very clear awareness. Something happens to him. He clearly senses that this is Hashem doing this to me. So he lowers his head and accepts it. Yirah kniyasa ateva v'shiflusa lelekim. This is certainly a sign of his kniya, of his humbling himself before Hashem. So it's a few psukim to this effect. Hashlishi. What's number three? Sheyisparsim inyone etzol bnei adam etoivo ibaro. How he responds, how he reacts, how he relates to when either good things about him or bad things about him are made public. In both cases, the nichna will respond in the same way, with a certain lowering of his head in this situation. Let's see. If he's praised for something virtuous that he did, He'll just like disparage the praise. I mean, he doesn't want to hear it. But because he realizes that whatever I could possibly do, again, this is about me and Hashem, right? So someone is saying, "Whoa, look how great what you did is. You did something so great." But I'm constantly living with that sense of I'm doing it to Hashem. It's just the tip of the iceberg. It's just the least I could do, literally. There's so much more I really should be doing. And therefore, he feels funny feeling good about, people are recognizing how great it is what I did. Because again, he's focused on, well, between me and Hashem, we both know that this is really something very minimal. Because of how indebted he understands he is to Hashem. Think of the mashal of you borrowed from somebody $1 million and you really put yourself to great efforts to scrape together $10,000 to pay him back. You scrape together those $10,000 and your neighbor is telling you, "Wow, kol hakavod, you really put yourself all out because, you know, I hope he appreciates the efforts that you made." And you're like, "Shh, shh, shh, I owe him $1 million. Don't stop making a big deal about the $10,000 that I paid him back." Okay, we began this point, but we'll stop here for now. We'll continue doing another next week. Good night. Guten Shabbos, Rabbi Yisai.
Good Shabbos.